Hi, I'm Brian.
And I'm Sharon.
I had a 40-year porn addiction.
Porn was an unwelcome guest for 32 years of our marriage.
I found hope and freedom when I attended a Gateway to Freedom weekend.
And I found hope and the courage to begin my healing journey while attending Wives Care.
Don't be like us and allow porn to wreak havoc in your lives.
Reach out to Be Broken today.
To learn more about Gateway to Freedom, 3-day intensive for men, and Wives Care online groups, visit BeBroken.org or call 210-822-8201. That's BeBroken.org or 210-822-8201. What if you're a wife desiring healing after sexual betrayal, but your husband isn't progressing as much as you want? Good day, friends. I'm Jonathan Darty, and I'm the founder of Be Broken Ministries. And I'm so glad that you've chosen to join us today, because in this episode, I welcome back Tammy Gustafson. She's a licensed counselor and betrayal trauma coach to help us explore two really tough situations that wives face after sexual betrayal. The first is what she calls the roommate scenario, where the husband isn't working on recovery, and the second is what we call the incomplete recovery, where progress is just inconsistent in the husband's recovery. Tammy shares some heartfelt advice on setting boundaries, focusing on self-care, and shifting attention from the husband's actions to the wife's own healing. We discuss the importance of deep character change, not just behavior, and offer some practical steps for finding support and reclaiming joy. So if you're a wife who can resonate with either or both of these scenarios, we want you to know that healing and thriving are possible even in the midst of these really challenging recovery circumstances. To learn more about Tammy and her resources, you can visit betrayalhealing.com. For additional resources, you can check out our website at BeBroken.org, or you can look at all of the links that we're going to put in today's show notes to help you take your next step. And of course, friends, as always, I want to encourage you to rate and review the podcast after listening, because it really does help others to find it. Now, let's go ahead and unpack this really difficult but hopeful conversation with Tammy. Okay, well, all right. We have Tammy Gustafson back with us on the program. Welcome back, Tammy.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so we've had you on a couple times before. The last time, believe it or not, was a couple of years ago, where we had you on to talk about the need for boundaries after betrayal. So that was a real popular program for wives that are just trying to navigate. They've experienced sexual trauma, sexual betrayal, and how do they just sort of create a space for themselves to heal while they're in the middle of kind of the chaotic aftermath of that kind of betrayal. I wanted to have you back to talk about, we're actually going to try to tackle two subjects in the same podcast, which may be biting off more than, at least more than I can chew, but I think you'll be fine. But before we do that, I just wanted to ask and maybe just let our listeners and viewers know what's new happening with you? What's been going on in your work? Is there anything that you would want to share with our listeners about what's been going on?
Yeah, there's a lot kind of coming behind the scenes that we haven't launched yet, but I actually have my first book is coming out in next January. So I am deep in the midst of that, and it'll be for wives, for women who are healing from betrayal. So, and we're also going to be launching a new program in a couple months here, which I'm excited about. But other than that, you know, I love doing the conference. I have another parish retreat coming up, and just really love coming alongside women and helping them see that there's good life ahead.
Yeah, that's great. Well, actually, by the time this actually airs, that new program may be out. So we'll definitely, if it is, we will make sure that that is in the show notes so that our listeners and viewers can get that resource. But, you know, what I love to do when I have guests like you on is I always want to say, what are the ideas that you have? Like, what do you want to bring to our audience? And so you had posed these two ideas, these two scenarios of wives who may be in what you call like the roommate scenario, and then wives who are in what you call like the incomplete recovery, meaning their husbands, there's something incomplete about their recovery. And so we're going to try to tackle both of those. We're not going to try to do them simultaneously, but I'd like to take them one at a time and see if we can help wives who maybe find themselves in those situations to get some hope and maybe some practical tools. So let's start with the roommate scenario. What is that scenario? What is a wife experiencing if she's in the roommate scenario?
Yeah, this is where it's become clear to her that her husband is not doing the work, that he's really not investing. It doesn't look like he is going to be headed towards the type of recovery she wants, but she's not in a place where she wants to leave. And so this could, it's usually for one of a couple reasons. One, it's usually because of finances, that she can't support herself, so she needs to stay. Oftentimes it's because of children that are still in the home that she doesn't want to put through divorce. Or there may be other things. Sometimes when there's abuse in the relationship, she's just gotten to a place where she doesn't believe she can or that anyone would want her, that sort of thing. And then, of course, there's women who just don't believe that for them, this is the right decision to get divorced. But in either scenario, she's now faced with a situation where she realized she's not going to get the ending that she wants. Her husband's behaviors are not moving towards redemption. And so she's left in this position of like, what do I do? There are no books about this. There's very little talk about this. It's like a forgotten group of women that have a very unique set of challenges.
Yeah. And so as I'm thinking of that, I'm thinking that's got to feel there's a very stuckness to that, because it seems like sometimes there's only two scenarios that are usually painted when sexual betrayal comes out in a marriage, where the husband is the betrayer and the wife is the betrayed, is in those two scenarios are, hey, there's full restoration because both get on board with recovery and healing, or the marriage dissolves. So let's just talk about what it's like to be in a stuck sort of limbo state. And what are some of the key things that a wife in that situation, what's that kind of the mindset that she needs to have that maybe isn't relegated to just those only two sort of common outcomes that tend to be promoted?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, for anyone listening who's in this scenario that we're talking about, I want you to know that you are not alone. That this is actually a much larger percentage of the outcome than what is talked about. And there can often be a lot of shame that you may be feeling if you're in this position of like, I can't go. And I'm feeling like everybody around me is like, hey, this isn't a good situation. You got to get out. And on the other hand, you're like, yes, but there are these pieces in place where I can't. And I am stuck. And so a lot of times what happens is that you may just feel like shutting down. And the tendency is to pull in. The tendency is to pull away from people because they may be saying things that are harmful. And just to kind of get more and more quiet and small. And this is actually the group of women that I am most concerned about out of all the women who go through betrayal, because this is the group of women that I see that their lights start to dim and go out. And it's like they get to a place where they're like, all right, well, I will just put my head down and I will survive and I will do the best I can. But their light is gone and their spark is gone.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about what can be done so that that doesn't happen. You know, as you're saying that, one of the things that I think of is this, even the conversation we had a couple of years ago when we had you on, is that whole topic of boundaries. It sounds like that is a key element for wives who find themselves in this scenario of what does it look like for them to create a space for themselves to still feel, or not even just feel, but to still have a voice somewhere, to still have like clarity, stability. So what does that look like? And why are boundaries maybe essential? And what does that even mean maybe for a wife to create a space like that in this scenario?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to address that, but I want to take one step back for that. I think first and foremost, there has to be this really painful and really honest look at the situation, because the grief is different here. There's all the grief that there was for the betrayal. But then there's a shift and there's a unique grief here of like, I have to accept the fact that I am not getting the redemptive story. I have to accept the fact that this is life, because if she doesn't, and if he continues to, then she's going to drive herself farther into the ground. And so there's this really honest, painful look of going like, okay, this is the reality. Now, if a miracle happens and he kicks it into gear, that's great. But unless something dramatic happens, like, this is where I'm at. And so then what can happen, and I think this is the hopeful piece, is that it is possible to heal. It is possible to live a good life and be here. And it is possible, because I talked about this is where I see women's lights dimming the most, but it doesn't have to be that way. And I remember somebody asking me one time, like, can I survive this? Like, does it have to go down that route of the lights dimming? And the response is no. But there is a very strong shift that has to happen, where the focus has to shift to kind of like what you're saying, is creating boundaries and creating a strong, or moving into a strong, healthy detachment, where you're shifting from, okay, I want him to meet my needs. I want him to get better so that we can be better. I have all these very legitimate needs, right? These very important human needs. And I want him, my husband, to meet them. And I'm going to push, and I'm invested in his healing. And when you get to the place where you're like, this is not going anywhere, there has to be kind of a massive shift in focus, and going, okay, now it's about, how do I meet those needs? And how do I bring really healthy people into my life who can help me meet those needs? And I need to shift away from focusing on him and his recovery. And now, if I'm going to survive this, not only survive it, but if I'm going to thrive and heal in an environment that is not necessarily ideally conducive to healing, then there has to be this massive shift. And she has to start leaning very deeply into her care and her life and her passions and things that bring her joy. It is possible.
Well, and as you're saying that, I'm thinking that's very much part of the grief process anyway. Because if you think about grief, grief is ultimately about getting to a point of release and acceptance. Release meaning I can't change the circumstance that brought on my grief. And now you're talking about there's a compounding element to that that adds a new grief. And can I get to a place where I release my husband and his choices and realize I can't change that scenario, but I can learn to accept the reality, a new reality that says I can still be whole and healthy within this new reality. That's kind of what I'm hearing you say. Now, let's talk practically. What does that look like? Because I'm thinking there's 1,000 scenarios of these relationships, and there's all kinds of details within each one, because every husband is unique. Every wife is unique in these situations. But what are some maybe universal practical steps that a wife can take to really be able to release and kind of sort of create this space that simultaneously is healthy for her, but also is not about saying, and let me grow hatred for him, right? Because that, I could see it becoming toxic in a reverse kind of way of saying, hey, it was already toxic in terms of the betrayal that he committed against me, but I don't hear you saying, let's create a space where this wife can detach in a way that just gets angrier and more hateful towards her husband that won't change. So how does a wife navigate that delicate balance?
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, because no, we're not going for hatred towards a husband. That is no more freeing for her than anything else. So what we're looking for, really, there's kind of a continuum of this healthy detachment. And from shifting focus, but still being engaged in the marriage, all the way to the point of like, I am emotionally divorcing my husband, but I'm still staying in this house. And so what that means is that you start to move, and there's people on all levels of that continuum, right? But it's all the same focus of, I need to start rebuilding my life and doing radical self-care. So that means I need to start going, okay, he's not going to heal. At this point in time, he is not showing that he's going to heal. So I need to go, what are the situations in my life and in my heart? What are the wounds that are still there? And how do I really dive into healing those wounds? And now going, like, I have 100% responsibility to heal those wounds for me. And looking at, okay, maybe it is partially going, this is not a healthy environment. So I need to start building a life over here that I'm still honoring my vows because I'm staying legally married, but I can start moving and going, okay, what do I need to do? I want to start to create a life where I'm going to start to create my friendships, where there is safety there, where I can start to go back. And maybe this is a time where I need to dig back into my childhood issues that will continue to trigger me. And so maybe this is that time to start looking at that, where you free up energy, where you're not focusing on the marriage recovery, his recovery, and you start to look at, how do I be the most healthy version of me possible? And how do I also, and you're right, that doesn't include, like, now I'm going to bash him, now I'm going to, that's not healing, right? But I'm going, okay, I am taking 100% responsibility for my life and for my actions and for my happiness and for my well-being. So part of this too is I need to start finding what brings me joy. And this is the difference I see between the women who are able to thrive in this scenario and the women who aren't able to quite get there, is that the ones who thrive, there's so much darkness and heaviness that they throw themselves more and devote more into things that bring them joy and things that spark and their hobbies and their passions in life. That's, it's like they are almost balancing, in a sense, what they are having to, the scenario that they're living in, with this really intentional joy and looking for joy in life. That's actually the difference I see between those who are able to really thrive and not.
Yeah, and for those who are Christians, they can also recognize that the way in which maybe they have made their own husbands a replacement for Christ, they've made their own husbands an idol, and realizing, I was trying to find all of my hope, all of my joy, all of my peace in my husband, when in reality I can only find that in Christ. And so there is a sense in which there can be a reframing even of their own faith, where they can realize, I was maybe leaning my whole life on the wrong foundation. And I think the one good aspect of that is then it does leave the door open for hope, that if the husband does actually start engaging recovery, even if the marriage starts to thrive in new ways, she's not going back to an old way that says, well, now let me put all my hope back in the husband. Let me put all of my security in him. Because guess what? He's fallible. He can't fulfill all of those things. So I think that's another important aspect of this too. So before we move to the incomplete recovery scenario, what other things are really important for wives to know who are in this kind of roommate scenario where it's like, hey, listen, he is indicating no desire to change. I am not, for whatever reasons I have, I'm choosing not to leave the relationship. What are some other things that are key for her to be able to, as you put it, thrive, be able to do well, not just, okay, I'm hanging on by my fingernails and I'm just surviving?
Yeah. I think one of the things that comes to mind is actually piggybacking off what you just said, is that you're right. A lot of Christian women do put their husbands on pedestals and do have that identity there and going, okay, wow, that just shattered in front of me. That didn't work. So now I want to put my identity and my focus, my foundation on Christ. And I think that's really important, but I think there's another person in here in this play that sometimes we forget about. And I think it's critical, and that's her. like we have the husband, we have Christ, but we also have her. And so she also has to lean into reconnecting with herself. And if she is going to thrive and really have that foundation as well, absolutely her connection with Christ is important, but her relationship with herself is actually absolutely critical for her healing journey and her feeling like she has power and agency in a really healthy way. And so that's really, that's a couple of things. That's her getting in touch with her body again, because almost all betrayed wives disconnect from their body for a lot of reasons, very understandable. And that's also getting to know who she is again. What does she want? What do you, for those listening, what do you want? What do you need? What are your desires? What are your passions? Like, you get to take up space in this world and you are important. And so even the question of like, how do I find out who I am? How do I know what's fun? Because fun is lost in this process. And there may be an exploration, a journey that you need to go on to start to connect, either reconnect or maybe for the first time, figure out who are you really? And so that's a critical piece of this healing journey. And the other thing I just want to say to women in this place is that finding friends who get this, where you feel safe and not judged and shamed, is going to be important. And for some, there are no groups that I know of for this group of people, right? It's a pretty lonely path. But for some women, how they have navigated that friendship piece is that they may have a whole group of friends where they don't talk about what's going on in their marriage, because they don't want that pressure. And so it's okay for you to protect that piece of it and to just find friends who are now connecting with you as an individual.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I know we could go on and on with just this scenario, but I want to get to the other one. And don't worry, listeners and viewers, because we're going to direct you to Tammy's resources afterwards. So in some ways, we're just kind of trying to stir the pot enough so that you can recognize, hey, I am in that situation. And then hopefully you will take next steps towards some of the resources and things that would be available for you for the care that you need to really be able to work out and understand how to live out these things that we're talking about here. But let's go to the next scenario. The next scenario is the one where you've got what you call incomplete recovery. So explain to us what that means and what that looks like for a wife.
Yeah. So what I mean by incomplete recovery is that there's this really confusing scenario. And that is when the husband is still in that phase where he is still doing work. In fact, in this phase, he's actually probably doing pretty good work. And so I have women come into my office and they're like, man, we've been at this for a while. My husband has done really good work. He's actually like, he has changed and things are different and maybe he's sober. But there's just still something that just doesn't feel right. Like maybe he's still getting angry at me, or he's still checking out women when we go out. Even though he's done all this great work, like he is still checking out women. And it's so hard. And it's also, this is something I call cycling as well, where it's like he may not relapse, but he may walk down that road enough where it really scares her, or where he's doing really good work and empathy work and whatnot. And then he goes through this period where he is not. And so she gets to this place where she's like, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to ask him to do. I don't know how to make this better. But there's still these breaches of safety and these breaches of trust, even if it doesn't go to full relapse. And for the men, oftentimes they get really frustrated in this phase too, because they're like, I've done all this work. Like, I have done all this work. Like, what more do you want? Like, I just... Like, and she's like, well, but it's not there. It's not quote unquote enough. And so what I look at this is looking at, I want to acknowledge, because we talk about if he's in good recovery or if he's not in good recovery. But I feel like there's this other phase where it's incomplete recovery, where he is doing recovery work and he has done good recovery work, but it's not complete. And that, man, this takes women out. This is the death by a thousand cuts for women, where mm-hmm. there continues to be this trust and this safety breach. And she feels like, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm not going to leave him. Like, he's not relapsing, but yet it feels like it is sucking the life out of me. And I feel like I don't ever completely heal. So that's what I mean by a complete recovery.
Yeah. And I would say that, you know, comparing these two, like the roommate scenario and the incomplete recovery scenario, this is in some ways the harder one to navigate, because it feels like so close, but it's not there. It feels like, you know, you're moving in the same direction, but not in the same way or with the same expectations. Whereas in some ways, the roommate scenario, as painful as that is, there's some clear demarcation. Like, there's some clear lines. It's like, we've got clarity on what he's doing, and we can have more clarity on kind of what she needs to do. You know, it's like, there's very stark lines in the room, even though it's a very painful situation to be in the roommate scenario. This one feels almost like, you know, being repeatedly sort of tossed into the ocean, then brought back onto the ship, and then tossed back into the ocean and brought back onto the ship and tossed back. It's like, what's going on? When am I going to be in one location or the other? Does that make sense? It's like, am I going to be in the safety of a growing relationship that's being rebuilt? Or am I going to be feeling like I'm out at sea of going, I don't have my bearings right now. So one of the things that comes to my mind, Tammy, on this, and because I'm speaking from the husband side, we deal with this all the time in husbands who are engaging in kind of that incomplete recovery and feeling that frustration of, I'm doing the work. I mean, and then boom, all of a sudden she gets triggered and something happens. And one of the things that I think is maybe a disconnect that happens there is, from the husband's perspective, he's probably still in some ways locked into behavior modification. And so he does not understand the deeper work of emotional healing, emotional regulation, emotional maturing. And so he's looking at it and going, I haven't technically acted out in 6 months. So can you talk a little bit about just that scenario and what needs to happen, maybe for the wife, but maybe even some things that you would want to say to the husband if he's looking at it only, if I could put it this way, in kind of the shallow recovery 101 behavior modification standpoint, rather than really the deeper emotional work that needs to go on, and how that leaves a wife feeling like, I am just in a limbo here of there's incomplete recovery.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think what you're talking about is so crucial. It's like the sobriety versus like the deeper character work. And, you know, I say a lot that sobriety is not, it's not the finish line. It's the starting line. Like that's where you can start to really do the healing. But the deeper work, and for the women listening who are like, I don't know what to look for. Like, he is going to like, mm-hmm. so many groups and the counseling and reading books and all this kind of stuff. And it's so confusing. Like, what do I do? It's because what you're looking for is not box checking. And for the husbands listening, it's not about the things you do. You need to do those things, but it's not about checking the boxes. It's about the character work. And that is that deeper stuff of empathy and non-defensiveness and kindness and figuring out the why, the deeper why, which almost always goes back to childhood, right? Mm-hmm. And it's digging in deep. And so for women, set the bar high. Like, sobriety is not enough. Not enough by far. Like, he doesn't even get kudos for that. I mean, you can, but it's like, he never should have been doing that in the first place, right? And so looking at it and going, no, what I need is I need to see that you are a different person. And what I tell wives too is, what you're looking for is, you're looking for those moments where you're like, huh, well, that's different. Like, before, when I was angry at him, he would get really defensive and like, huh, like he was kind. Or huh, not just with you and not just integrity, but like beyond that, where you can see his character is developing of like, wow, in the past, like he would have totally yelled at our kids for what they did. Mm-hmm. And he didn't this time. And so it's that deeper character stuff that's really important. And the knowing his why is possible and necessary if there's going to be any safety. But I think, and Jonathan, I'd love your feedback on this, because where I see the incomplete recovery kind of bottoming out, why it doesn't go to that final level of really being solid and safe and secure, what I see is that it usually boils down to he is still in shame. Mm-hmm. There's family of origin work that he hasn't done yet, or that there's inner child work. I usually see it boil down to one of those three. I'm curious on your take on that, though.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to say, too, just to kind of piggyback on what wives can look for in terms of mm-hmm. whether real recovery is happening at those deeper levels. I'll say it in a little bit of a different way than what you said, but it's the same thing, is you're looking for new language, new insights, and you're looking for a curiosity to be birthed in him, meaning like new language is like, he's responding in different ways. He's bringing new words into the vocabulary of what he's learning, insights. He's bringing you insights of like, hey, so when you talk about family of origin issues or inner child, he's saying, I just learned something about myself that I didn't know before. I'm a closed off person. I have an insecure attachment style, you know, this new language. And then also a curiosity about himself, but also about her. Like he's, you know, when you get closed off into a porn or a sex addiction, there's no curiosity about another individual. So that alone could be a huge marker of whether or not he's really engaging real recovery, is he's starting to show interest. He's asking questions. He's pursuing her in conversation. But I would say I totally agree with you in terms of those deeper issues, in terms of what you mentioned. Yes, a lot of times it is going to be connected to family of origin issues, shame issues, inner child work. And that's where, you know what, sometimes we just got to tell guys, you got to get over this false masculinity that's been superimposed on you. If you want to be a healthy whole man, you've got to go into that deeper work. And it's going to be good not only for you, but it's going to be good for your hurting wife. She needs to see, if I can put it this way, the little boy heal. She needs to see the little boy be healed from those things that were bad in your past. Now, I would like to then flip it around and kind of the same way I asked questions in the roommate scenario of like, okay, what can a wife do for, you know, you talked about so her light won't dim, so that there's a sense in which she still has agency. What are some things in this incomplete recovery scenario that wives can do, kind of still allowing her husband to own his recovery, even if it's like, man, he's not doing a great job on this, or doesn't feel like he's gone to those deeper levels. What can she still do for her own like health and maybe sanity during that season?
Absolutely. Well, I think there's my brain goes in two directions. One is what she can do within the relationship, because there is still that dynamic and that healing dynamic within the relationship, and then her personally, right? But for the relationship, I would say getting clarity of like, nope, it's not about the boxes and what he's doing. It's about that deeper stuff. But also being able to, if he breaches trust or safety, then you get to protect your heart. And that usually comes naturally if there's a pulling back that happens in the relationship. But I think one thing that I think is helpful is going, because then the question is, when do I lean back in? When is it safe to lean back in? Right. Mm-hmm. And I would say he needs to understand why that breach of trust and safety happened. If he doesn't know at a deep level, then there's not safety to lean back in and open up your heart again, because your heart and your vulnerability is precious, and you don't have to do that unless he provides that safety. And he might come back and say, you know, well, I think this is why I did it, or it was really stressful, or it was X, Y, or Z. And then you sit with yourself and go like, does that feel like he got it? And if it doesn't, then you can be like, I think there's more. I think you need to connect with your counselor and dig deeper. I think there's more. Because what is at stake here more than anything, what's at stake is your heart. And so that's that, the freedom and the permission, if you need it, to say like, I am not willing to open my heart back up and to open up this vulnerability unless there is safety there. And here's how you can create safety. You have to understand, and I have to see that there is, that there is softness and that you were working on this. I think that's an important piece. And for her, for women who are listening, for your safety, it's really good if you can find people who you can talk to about this, who are safe. A support group is fantastic, right? Or people that you know you can open up and share this with. And knowing that you still want the relationship, so somebody who is also going to hold space and hold the not vilify your husband as well, but who can lean in with you, that's going to be really important. And then for you to, again, focus on building into yourself. So what are some things you need? If he pulls that safety out from underneath you, what are some things that you can do to get safe again? That might be the group. That might be also like, man, I need to get this out of my body. So I need to lean into exercising. I need to work this out with massage, focusing on your nervous system, because even though he may not have relapsed, that breach of safety and trust, that is going to set your nervous system on fire. And so the more that you can do to calm your body, in that, the more you can do to get out and verbalize all your emotions in counseling or with a safe friend or support group, that is going to be crucial. And then look for that safety, require that safety before you open your heart back up. But when he does have that safety, then to be able to lean back in and keep going. And it is possible. Healing is possible for relationships, for marriages, for individuals. Healing is absolutely possible.
Yeah. And I would just say this on the safety element. I want to say this to husbands, but it's going to be good for the wives to hear this, is men, you need to hear that curiosity. When I mentioned that earlier, that's a huge component to safety. And curiosity is never aggressive. If you really think about it, true curiosity is never aggressive. So it's never defensive to be curious, to try to say, okay, what is going on with your heart? How can I help? Is never meant to be manipulative or an aggressive thing. So you can never say that this is true curiosity to say, well, how can I help? You're always blah, 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 you know, and you just fill in the blank. That's not curiosity. That's an accusation. That's aggression. True curiosity, there's always a gentleness. There's a humility. There's a love to curiosity because you're saying, I want to know you. And so I want to know how to help. So I just want to say that so that husbands can hear that, but also wives can kind of listen in and go, okay, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for real curiosity that's not aggressive. Well,
yeah, that's beautiful.
Tammy, this has been a phenomenal conversation. Where can our listeners and viewers go to learn more about what you have for wives and resources that can help them maybe navigate these really difficult seasons in their marriage?
Yeah, best place to reach me is my website, which is betrayalhealing.com. And then there's all sorts of ways to connect with me once you're there.
Yeah. Well, Tammy, it's always a delight to have you on the program. So thanks for sharing your wisdom and your time with us today.
Thanks for having me. I love being here in these conversations.
Yeah. Well, listeners and viewers, we are going to put lots of great resources to help you in the show notes. And so please reach out to us. We want to help you take your next best step to wholeness in Christ. We're always glad to have you on the program. We look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.